Ukraine security issue.
On the 3rd of May, the 69th day of Russia's war against Ukraine, the Ukrainian military intelligence reported that the badly thinned out Russian army units continued to receive fresh reinforcements of personnel as well as tanks, APCs and other weaponry. Failing to break through the Ukrainian lines of defense and suffering heavy losses, the invaders continued to shell and bomb peaceful towns and villages. In Odessa, Russian missiles hit an apartment building and a church, killing a 13-year-old boy and badly wounding his 17-year-old sister. Russian troops also shelled a school in the Zaporizhzhia region. As a result, two people were killed and about a dozen houses and other buildings were destroyed. Nine civilians were killed in the Donetsk region, where Russian troops have increased their number and intensity of strikes on Ukrainian army positions as well as residential areas. In Kharkiv, Russian artillery and missile strikes resulted in new civilian casualties, including one fatality. The southern part of the region remains one of the hottest spots where the Russians press on with their scorched land tactics. At the same time, according to Alexei Negubov, head of the Kharkiv Region Military Administration, Ukrainian troops successfully counterattack and advance in some frontline areas. The situation in the Azov port city of Mariupol is extremely complicated as Russian forces continue to bomb, shell and storm the Azovstal steel plant, the last stronghold of Ukrainian defenders. They also continue to block humanitarian corridors, and only dozens of about 100,000 residents of the city are lucky to break out of the Russian inferno. Mariupol mayor Vadim Boychenko reported on Tuesday that only 3 of the 14 buses with evacuees have reached the Kyiv-controlled territory, and the whereabouts of the rest 11 were still unknown. When we announced that the Russian side had agreed to the evacuation, 90 buses were sent there and 3 locations were designated. But only 2 locations were available and only 14 buses arrived. Only 3 of them reached the Ukrainian mainland. 11 buses that moved towards Zaporizhzhia were lost somewhere on the way, as it had happened before. Our evacuees are detained at Russian filtration centers where the occupiers take them away. That's what is happening now, Mariupol, said Mariupol Mayor Vadim Boychenko. The entire Kyiv-controlled part of the Luhansk region is now under fire amid fierce fighting, and it is practically impossible for civilians to survive the incessant indiscriminate shelling. Almost all towns and villages have no electricity, water and gas supplies and no communication. The unfortunate residents who spend days and nights hiding in basements and shelters only live on humanitarian aid that is delivered by the Ukrainian military and police. Sergei Gaidai, head of the Luhansk Region Military Administration, is certain that Putin's horde aims to starve Ukraine to death. On Monday, Russian extra-heavy bombs destroyed a modern granary. The fact is proven by satellite images. The granary's storing capacity was 30,000 tons of grain, and its laboratory had the most up-to-date equipment. There are also multiple confirmed facts of transportation of Ukrainian grain as well as agricultural machinery to Russian territory. Last week, harvesters and tractors worth a total of $5 million were stolen in Melitopol, Zaporizhzhia region. Some of them were equipped with GPS trackers and electronic locks that help their manufacturer trace and block them in Chechnya. More and more bodies of civilians are found in the towns and villages liberated from the Russian invaders. As of May 3rd, more than 1,200 bodies had been found in the Kyiv region and about 300 persons were still missing. Many people are still looking for the bodies of their relatives, some of which are very difficult to identify. Free DNA tests that are now made in the region can help forensic experts to identify mutilated, burned and decomposing bodies and the people to bury their loved ones. Alexander, who came to a DNA test lab, says that he is looking for his mother. I'm looking for my mother. Most probably she died in our apartment in Borodyanka, where a bomb struck the house. Her body is still nowhere to be found. There were only fragments of bodies there. I was with her and we hid in the basement all the time until the 1st of March, when I last saw her. I left the town and she stayed because she didn't want to leave. 13 bodies are still missing in our apartment house alone. I was there when rescuers cleaned up the rubble and searched for bodies. Some of them were identified and others were not. Yuri, who lives in a village in the Chernihiv region, remembers the weeks of Russian occupation with horror. Russian soldiers tortured him, demanding dollars, but he didn't have any. They only found a map of Ukrainian roads in his house and must have thought that the man had something to do with the military. They tortured him for 3 days on end. One of the soldiers shot an AK near Yuri's face, kicked him and beat him with a rifle butt and a spade. He says, "See the spade? Crawl to it." I think to myself, I wish they stopped torturing me. I wish they killed me quickly. They made me dig my own grave. I dug it this deep. They beat me with the butts. There was blood all over me and I went unconscious. Then I dug again until I saw that the pit was already too big. Those two soldiers stood on both sides. While I was digging, one of them shot in the spade and there were sparks, said Yuri. The war has delivered a heavy blow on the Ukrainian economy, but having recovered from the first shock, businesses are slowly beginning to get back on track. According to National Bank Governor Kirill Shevchenko, Ukraine's most significant strategic advantage is its operational banking system that helps the national economy to get back on its feet. Over the 10 weeks of the war, deposits on the national currency hryvnia have increased by 20%. The number of the companies that stopped working when the war began is now decreasing. During the first weeks of March, 32% of Ukrainian enterprises were out of operation, and at the end of April, the number dropped to 17%. Now, almost every fifth Ukrainian company whose operation was halted by Russia's invasion is still not operational.